Would you like to learn about a holistic system of coordinated movement, breathing, and meditation that's been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years for the well-being of our mind, our body, and our spirit? If so, then you want to keep listening or watching to this episode of Raising Consciousness today, as I'm joined by the renowned expert of Lee Holden, who has brought a ancient, powerful, and transformative Chinese practice into the modern world and shares this practice with us in this episode. Before we dive into that episode, I actually discovered Lee Holden and his work through his Mind Valley quest. Now, if you're not familiar with Mind Valley, it's the number one personal growth, personal transformation program like in the world, with over millions and millions of students worldwide. I was actually a local host for one of their events back a couple of years ago as well, which was amazing. Being able to connect like-minded, growth-minded people together in a space. And I've been a member there for years, basically, guys. So I'm very passionate about Mind Valley, sharing Mind Valley. And again, this is where I discovered Lee Holden and his work through his Mind Valley quest. There they have hundreds of quests, hundreds of programs, all designed to help you to grow quicker, faster, stronger, and become the best version of yourself. So if you would like to learn more about Mind Valley, maybe you want to save on your membership, then click the link in the description of this episode where you can save $100 on your Mind Valley membership. Now, without further ado, let's hop on over into my conversation with Lee Holden and discover this ancient Chinese practice. Lee Holden, thank you so much for joining me here today on Raising Consciousness. It's a pleasure to have you join me. How are you doing? How is, I'm guessing, sunny California?
Dang it, it's not today. It's foggy Santa Cruz, ooh, California, because I live in the marine layer. But okay. You know what? Even though it's foggy, it's still a gorgeous day. As my 13-year-old daughter says, it's a silver day, Dad. It's not a gray day. So she keeps me in the right place.
I love that optimism. I love that. Today discussing Qigong, and I also want to discuss some of the other things I know you're an expert in. But I come across your work actually through your Mind Valley quest, which was amazing, ultimately. But for those who might not be too familiar with your work, we'd love for you to share actually who you are, what you do, and give us a little bit introduction into this thing of Qigong for those who don't know what it is.
Well, thanks, Luke. I mean, your podcast sort of says it all, raising consciousness and, you know, using ancient wisdom like a practice like Qigong to raise consciousness, and not just consciousness in our own minds, but the body consciousness, the heart consciousness, and the mind consciousness. How do we elevate the energy in all three of these aspects of who we are, which in Qigong was called the three treasures: your body as a treasure, your emotions as a treasure, and your mind or your consciousness as a treasure. And how do we optimize and have these three centers work together? So this ancient practice of Qigong, the written record is about 4,000 or 5,000 years old. And it's the oldest form of exercise that was connected to both medicine and recorded and written down. So these ancient masters realized that if they move their bodies, they move the life force energy within them in proper ways, they could create a healing effect in their whole system. So that's kind of the where this practice stems from. And qi means life force energy. And some people, you know, I kind of laugh because some people say, well, I don't think I believe in qi. And I'm like, you know what? You don't have to believe in it. It's just the force that keeps your body alive. There's something in you that's beating your heart without you having to think about it. Something in you that's breathing your lungs, that's digesting your breakfast. And you don't even have to think about it at all. There's also this way in which the mind communicates to the body where we can animate the body by moving our bodies in various ways, whether it's voluntary or involuntary. This is the word they give to qi, the animating life force energy or your aliveness. Now, there's ways to optimize that aliveness. You know, the difference between feeling down, fatigued, depressed, to energized, inspired, and excited about life. These are two different kinds of vibration. in each of those scenarios, there's both aliveness there, just one is optimized, flowing, circulating, and one is stagnant, blocked, or constricted. And so the ancient Qigong master said, let's free up this life force energy and make it work well so that we can all lead healthy, happy, fulfilling lives. So this second part of the word gong signifies to work with or speed, to work with in skillful ways. So Qigong, to work with life force energy in skillful ways. So it's the original energy work type of practice. And I first got into this, I was a collegiate soccer player and I had an injury. I jumped up in the air. Another player took out my legs. I landed on my tailbone and was just sort of hobbling around the rest of the game. And then for weeks afterwards, I tried all the Western medicine things. I tried cortisone shots and painkillers, and it didn't help my back much at all. In fact, it just gave me a stomach ache. So now I had back pain and a stomach ache, and I'm depressed. And I remembered when I was a little kid, I trained martial arts. And this one martial arts master, he broke this big stack of bricks. And like as a 10 or 11 year old kid, I was like, wow, how did you do that? And he said, the power of chi. And then he like grabbed me by my lapel and he said, chi is not for hurting people, it's for healing. So all of a sudden I remembered that and I said, you know what? I got to go see that guy. And I did. I went back to my hometown and he gave me some acupuncture, showed me Qigong exercises. And I spent the whole week there. And at the end of the week, I was about 95% better. I was back playing. People were like, how did you do it? And I was changed from that point on. It was a catalyst for like almost the rest of my life. So what was my, you know, worst moment in my life all of a sudden turned into a catalyst to be such a blessing in disguise. And after that, I studied with various Qigong masters. I was studying psychology at UC Berkeley. So I was, as the years kind of followed, I was a little bit dismayed about the way in which we study psychology in the Western world. I mean, we learn diagnoses, we label problems, diseases, we do a lot of statistical analysis. And I just, in like 3 years of being at university, I hadn't learned one thing to help people feel better. So there I was in the spiritual bookstore reading books about Tai Chi and Qigong and meditation. And I was like, wow, right here, it's showing people how to transform stress into vitality, how to feel better with breathing exercises and how to move your body in different ways to circulate energy and discharge negative emotional energy. So I purchased these books. I walk out with my bag of books and on the telephone pole was a flyer for the author of the book that was going to be in town the next day. So I go to the workshop. I'm a poor college student, so I don't have enough money to attend the workshop. So I ask him, hey, can I work for you? And he was just like, yeah, sure. Work in the bookstore. He had a whole bunch of books in the back of the room. So I sold the books and that became a thing. Every time he came to town, I would work in the bookstore, take all his workshops and courses and just loved it. Just lit me up. And so when I graduated college, I asked him if he had a job for me. I didn't want to go to work in Silicon Valley and sit at a desk and do the normal thing. So he said, yeah, why don't you come to Thailand and be my ghostwriter? So off I went. I did 12 trips to Asia, Thailand, China, Indonesia, Japan, and studying healing arts, whether it was massage therapy, energy cultivation, lots and lots of Qigong practices. And then after studying and training with these masters for 5 or 6 years, I wanted to teach it to my friends, my soccer players, the people in Silicon Valley, how to manage their stress, use this ancient practice to get themselves out of pain. And so that became my mission.
Amazing, amazing journey. In terms of Qigong, like what is it? Like, what are we actually talking about here? Because when I first came across it, I was expecting, actually I'm not sure what I was expecting, but it's kind of like a cross between exercise, as you said, but also meditation. There's also a lot of kind of focus and mindfulness on the breath. And with all these different kind of practices out there, right? You know, you have more, where you have breath work, you have obviously meditation. And then I discovered Qigong and I was like, oh, another thing to add, right? Like, how do I fit it in as well to all the other things that I'm doing? So I'm curious, actually, what is it? Is it a cross between kind of all three? And where would you encourage people to integrate the routine into their daily lives?
That's such a great question, Luke. You know, Qigong is a practice of all of that. It's like a workout, it's a stretch, it's a flow, and it's meditative. And, you know, in modern life, we don't necessarily all have the time to go to the gym, get to a yoga class, sit down for a mindfulness meditation, or do some Tai Chi. But Qigong combines all of that into one cohesive practice where we warm up the body, we get a good workout, we then stretch what we call lines of tension. So it's definitely simpler than, let's say, yoga practice. In fact, you pretty much don't even have to change your clothes, you know, so it's really accessible and convenient. And then we do these really slow flowing movements that integrate mind and body. So if you have a difficult time meditating, sitting down, quieting your mind and meditating, this is a great alternative and a great addition to a meditation practice, because the slowness of the body and the slowness of the breath coax the mind into slowing down. So when you slow down one, you're going to slow down the other. In fact, if people just take a slow, deep breath in through the nose and out through the nose very slowly, you're going to notice your mind follow. Now add body movement to that, and all of a sudden, your body relaxes and this energy starts to circulate. And as your body relaxes and your breath slows down, your mind slows down, and we really enter the present moment without effort, without trying. And so it's a practice of energy cultivation. And at the end of a Qigong practice, usually people are like, wow, I feel so good. And it's not like you got a sweaty workout from the gym or you just sat down and meditated. It's kind of a combination of all of that. I kind of call Qigong the sunset of exercise, because sunsets are a time where yin and yang is in balance. There's harmony in nature. It's not night, it's not day, everything's in harmony. So you're moving your body, but you're moving your body with relaxation. So all of a sudden, like a sunset where you're just like, ah, I feel connected. I feel relaxed. Nature helps me feel connected and relaxed. And when you do your Qigong practice, you feel connected and relaxed within yourself. And that's when healing happens. So interestingly enough, Luke, this practice was part of Chinese medicine. And in the ancient times, the way they used to practice this medicine was by prevention. And how this worked and how it looked was that you'd pay your healthcare practitioner, your Chinese medical doctor, and you'd pay them like a monthly fee. And as long as you were healthy, you continued to pay them. As soon as you got sick, you stopped paying. So this was healthcare. The doctors, everybody was focused on how do we keep you healthy, not how do we manage your sickness. So nobody's making money or benefiting when people are sick in this system. And unfortunately, the Western model, nobody gets paid unless people are sick. So yes, although the medicine is highly technologically advanced, it does not focus on prevention, wellness, energy, vitality, living your best life. It's just going to focus on, hey, when you have a problem, we'll treat your problem, we'll treat your illness, we'll treat your sickness and help you to get to baseline. But how do we thrive instead of just survive? How do we get ourselves in a highly elevated, charged space? How do we, as your podcast suggests, how do we raise our consciousness? How do we raise our vibration, our energy, so that we're thriving and living our best life, not just managing or making it through? And that's a big difference in perspective. It's actually a completely different paradigm.
And how would you recommend people go about choosing, like, what practice to implement? Like, obviously, you are a Qigong expert, but I'm just kind of wondering that if people, you know, they may have come across breath work from, I don't know, Wim Hof or something, right? Or they may have came across meditation or on the MindBody platform, where, like, there's so many other quests and there's, yeah, you know, like all this, I think sometimes overwhelm that people are like, well, what practice do I choose? And obviously each have their own benefits. So how would you recommend to someone? Does it depend on their goals? Does it depend on actually having all these tools in their toolbox and then choosing a tool when they feel like they need it? I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, and I think this is such a good point. It's kind of like, going to your grocery store, there's just so many options in your, you know, self-care, self-work, spiritual growth kind of space. And like, what do we do? You know, yes, we hear like exercise is really good for you. Moving your body is extremely important in longevity, learning how to breathe, meditation. I mean, all these things, you know, the studies are out that if you move properly and you calm and clear your stress, you're going to be healthier and you're going to live longer. It's, you know, there's just no two ways about it. So how do we get that in for ourselves is kind of the question that I often ask. And really, you try some things out and notice how you feel. Like, listen to your own mind-body system. Try some things out. Like Luke was saying, you know, there's so many choices out there. Kind of feel into what resonates with you and then try a few things out. And your felt sense, your body's wisdom will speak to you. So it doesn't necessarily have to be from a cerebral approach, but remember that we have other wisdom centers. We have the wisdom of our gut feelings, our kinesthetic information, and we also have wisdom from our hearts. And the wisdom of the heart really helps you to be directed towards more joy and more happiness. And unfortunately, we don't really listen to these wisdom centers. We kind of come from our headspace that's just full of, let's say, programming and conditioning. And so how do we make a shift? And absolutely, does it have to do with your goals? Absolutely. So if your goal is health and healing, I mean, I think there's no better practice than a Qigong practice to really help to energize your body, to clear stress, to release tension and pain, and to optimize the healing power that's naturally within you. I think Qigong is such an incredible practice. And it is, you know, tried and true. It's been around for 4,000 or 5,000 years. And most people don't realize that it's still the most widely practiced form of exercise in the world. More people practice Qigong than any other form of exercise in the world. And it's been around longer than anything else. We just don't know about it all that much in the West. You know, we know people in the parks, you know, in Asian cultures doing some slow movements. But it's not just for, you know, the older generation. It is a powerful, powerful practice of clearing stress and anxiety, helping us sleep better, waking up in the morning more vibrant and charged up. So I think if energy is something you're seeking and is something that you are interested in, you know, Qigong is the practice of energy cultivation. Now, there's lots of Qigong teachers. There's lots of Tai Chi teachers. So how do you find one that you try for yourself? And that's just it. You try a few classes, you know, come see me on YouTube. I got a whole bunch of things that are free out there. Or, you know, we often have like a 2-week trial on our subscription where I'm teaching classes 3 or 4 times a week live on Zoom. Or if you can't come live, then they're, you know, in the members area. So those kinds of things, just to try it and see how you feel, is extraordinary. So I think that's the way to do it, and really listen into yourself.
And so it seems like it's more of a remembering, like that feeling. That's kind of the sense I'm getting. It's more about how you like trying stuff and seeing how you're feeling, which I think that actually you kind of alluded to it there in terms of in the West, we kind of lose that sense of intuition, right? And that kind of gut sense. We operate from like the mind more, if that makes sense. And that's kind of what I'm discovering and learning a lot when I contrast the Eastern practices to Western practices and meditation, just basically how we do things in the West. Like, do you have insights on maybe like why that is? Like, why is most of these practices, right, whether it's breath work, meditation, et cetera, come from Western cultures, and actually in the West we're a little bit more skeptical about them?
That's right. Yeah, we really are. And you know, just remembering that Western medicine is just it's in its infancy. You know, it's about 200 years old, the way that we practice medicine. You know, it's really new, and it has some wonderful things about it. It's a specialization, you know. So, you know, you hurt your knee, you go see a primary care doctor, they're going to refer to you to a knee doctor, and nobody's going to say, hey, is that knee injury connected to any mental, emotional stress? You know, kind of look behind the curtain at any of these problems. Somebody comes to you got a headache. Nobody's going to say, well, how are you feeling? How are you sleeping? In the West, we see things as very segmented and separated. the psychologists, when people have emotional stress, don't talk to the doctors where it's manifesting as a headache or pain in the neck. Nobody's talking to each other. So we're going to feel very fragmented and uncertain and unsure of ourselves. We don't trust ourselves. We need to ask experts to do it. So now we have to wait for the doctor. And sometimes it takes a month or two. So you got to sit with this pain or a problem while you're waiting for a busy doctor because nobody knows what to do about themselves because nobody trusts their own intuition or their own body wisdom. And it's not to say don't go see the doctors. Absolutely. It's an important part of a tapestry of medicine, but it's not the only solution. And we should, as individuals, be in charge and empowered to know and understand what we can do for ourselves. I mean, with acupressure points, self-acupressure, with the right breathing exercises, the right stretches, the right meditations, the right visualizations, we can do so much in our own health and healing. Well, we just never been trained. It's not part of our paradigm. We have been trained to be disempowered, both, you know, medically, spiritually, and, you know, in many other ways. So people, you know, those in charge don't necessarily want people in society empowered and strong, unfortunately. So, you know, in Qigong and in Eastern philosophies like Buddhism and Taoism and other practices, they really empower individuals. You are your own best teacher, your own best master, because you have to live from the inside out. That nobody can really tell you about the journey of life. You have to experience it yourself. Nobody can tell you what divine wisdom is. You have to experience it. So the experiential cultivation of wisdom and energy is a really powerful practice. That, you know, when somebody goes on a trip, you know, to a beautiful island like Hawaii, and they come back and show you pictures of it and tell you all about it, you don't feel like you've had that relaxation or been on that trip to Hawaii. So in the same way, we could study and read and philosophize and have beliefs about the way things are, yet it's like listening to somebody's trip to a beautiful place and not going on the journey yourself. So these practices really help you to walk through the practice in a step-by-step way so that you feel connected and you feel empowered and you feel like you know from experience and are gaining wisdom rather than just knowledge. Knowledge that somebody else told you, knowledge from a book, knowledge from Googling it on the internet. You know, this type of knowledge is all well and good, but we have to put it into experience in order to really, let's say, master it or understand it from the inside out. And so the idea of really waking up the energy centers, the wisdom centers in the body, you know, this would be body, emotions, and mind. There's low vibrations in each of these centers and high vibrations. So when the low vibration sets into the body, we feel fatigue, we feel in pain, and we have illness. High vibration in the body, we feel energized, we feel charged up. You know, all you have to do is look at children and see how much energy is possible. I have a 3-year-old, and man, she wakes up and she is on fire. She's dancing, she's singing. She goes like 10 hours a day, just like full energy. And when it's time to turn it off, she'll sleep. She sleeps so good. She sleeps a solid 10, 11 hours. And this is really clear energy in the body. Yin and yang are really clear. When it's time to go to sleep, you sleep really well. When it's time to wake up, you're charged up. Now, if that's not you, then we know there's some room to grow our energy and to cultivate more of it so that it's really clean and clear. And the emotions the same way. The difference between feeling anxious, depressed, agitated, frustrated, irritated, or joyful, at peace, content, inspired, you know, in love. What's the difference? Well, it's really just a difference in vibration, a difference in energy, because emotions are not something tangible. Nobody can see emotions. We can't do open-hearted surgery and give you some more love. No, we have to, this is an energy, emotion, energy that moves. We call it a feeling. When the energy moves, we're going to have an emotion. We're going to feel something in our bodies. That's the difference between an emotion and a thought, is that we have some feeling within us. We might be thinking some thoughts and all of a sudden something triggers, and maybe that thought either inspires us to feel good Or maybe it's a thought of worry and our bodies then constrict. So everything is connected. The way in which we think influences our emotions, influences our bodies. The way in which we feel emotionally will influence our thoughts, which will also influence our bodies. And so to really feel connected and whole, helping utilize these different centers, use your body as a way to shift emotions. So if you're feeling stressed out, how can I use my body to get myself out of stress and back into a resource state? Well, you can change your breathing, because emotions all have a breathing pattern to it. Somebody who's sad is going to breathe with shallow breaths. They're going to have a hard time exhaling. So you're going to see people sad, they're going to want to hold their breath, but you can't hold your breath forever. So then they exhale into a wailing kind of breathing, or a cry, as we might call it. And this is a way to transform energy. And somebody who's angry, they're going to have a lot of exhales, strong exhales. You're going to see every emotion has a particular breathing pattern to it. Now, if you change your breathing pattern, you can shift emotions. If you sit up tall, hey guys, everybody, let's try this. Everybody sit up tall and take a nice deep breath. Maybe look up, take a deep breath, put a little smile on your face and say, I'm so depressed. Right?
That's the best.
You're smiling, you're looking up and you're breathing deep. It's just not going to work. So if you want to be depressed, we have to sink the chest. We have to have the chin down. We have to have the body posture that matches, and we have to have a breathing pattern that matches. So you can shift the way your body is either carrying itself. You can shift breathing. You can shift facial features. And all of a sudden, the energy of emotion starts to change. So it works like magic. We don't have to necessarily, always rely, let's say, on a pharmaceutical, a substance, something external. You can shift the energy and the chemistry from the inside out, and becomes very, very empowering.
So then my next question is, how do we bring this consciousness, bring this awareness to the day to day? And is that actually through the repeated practice? And what I mean by that is, it's all very well, listeners and watchers here, and I'm guilty of this myself, being able to consciously, control our breathing. But when we're in a traffic jam and somebody cuts us up in the road, and we've forgotten that, Lee Holden said this on, this podcast, and we just get caught up in the emotion, caught up in the moment, and then we just lose it, right? I've had many of these moments, and even a few minutes after, a few seconds after, I'm like, oh shit, I learned that, and I should have changed my breathing, right? And so, but is that part of the journey, I guess? Is that part of the process of actually, and part of the practice, because we're using the word practice here, so we need to practice it, that actually then over time we can we can become more aware and kind of slow down that reaction time, I guess.
Yeah, and that's such a good question. How do we actually put this into practice? How do we apply it in our everyday life? And it does take practice. It takes repetition. I need to learn. I need to remember what Lee Holden says on his podcast sometimes in traffic. You're like, kids are, I got four children. I'm, when I get them all fed a healthy breakfast out the door without any squabbles and to school on time, I'm just like, yes, gold medal. And it doesn't always happen. So, there's things in life that can be very frustrating, parenting, working and getting kids ready for school, wanting them to be healthy. And, life gets very complicated. And so what we can control and what we can't control can be delineated in our consciousness. We don't necessarily have that much control over the traffic. I wish Qigong could clear traffic, because that would be nice. But no, I can only control my response to the unexpected or traffic or to my children. So yes, I often will be in traffic and I'll feel frustrated before what I've done is train myself. Before I take any action or say anything, I check in with my emotions. I wait. I don't react immediately to a circumstance in a negative way. So whether it's kids fighting, traffic unexpected, late to school, I'm going to say, before I get frustrated and before I act on my frustration, I'm going to tend to it within myself. No, negative emotional energy, think of it like compost. Compost for your garden. It's unuseful. It's not something we want to ingest, hold on to. No, we want to put it in a place. So like you take all your food scraps and your garbage and then you compost it. It's going to be a bit smelly. It's not going to be nice to just keep in the kitchen. But if you go out and put it in the yard, you put it on that plant, all of a sudden that tree is going to bear fruit. So the energy needs to be in the right places. So we need to compost our negative emotions and transform them into something else. So when I'm sitting in traffic and I'm late, I'm going to say, you know what? I can choose to tighten up and grip the steering wheel, tighten my jaw, contract my neck and shoulders. But it does not make the traffic go any faster. It just makes my neck and shoulders tight and depletes my energy, because holding tension in your body is depleting. So let me respond to this traffic with relaxation. Let me do a practice. My practice is, okay, how am I breathing? Okay, I'm going to breathe deeper and slower, because that will help me to relax and not take on the perceived stress of traffic. Because stress, remember, folks, is a response in your nervous system that life all around you is threatening. You are in a life-threatening situation. That's when you want to go into stress. But sitting in traffic is not a life-threatening situation. Giving a talk in front of your peers, speaking in front of, you know, 30 people, having a deadline, these are not life-threatening situations. So it is unuseful to go into stress response, and it depletes our energy, especially if it's chronic. And speaking of stress, the majority of primary doctor visits, about 90% of why people go to the doctor, is emotional stress. So make no mistake, emotional stress is the root cause of most illness and disease, whether it's a headache or cardiovascular disease, whether it's insomnia or, you know, depression. Emotional stress is wearing on our system. And if we're under too much stress, your immune system goes down. So it's not just like, hey, I just want to get out of stress because I want to, let's say, feel a little better. No, it is crucial to get out of stress, because it's detrimental to your health. And all the studies are suggesting that, showing that. It's not like, I wonder if stress is bad for us, like it was, that this was the question maybe 30 years ago. We haven't developed a medicine that addresses the root cause of problems. So we need to manage our stress, and we have to really get clear on what can I control and what do I have no control of. And what people do unconsciously is they tighten up their bodies when they feel out of control. I can't control the traffic. I can't control what my kids are doing. I can't control what's happening in the office, and definitely can't control the world around me with all this stuff going on. So what people do is internalize it. They tighten mainly their neck and shoulders. So that's where we hold emotional stress, in our jaw and in our bellies and in our lower backs. And then that creates all kinds of problems within us. And I'll tell you a story just real quick. I'm on a plane. I'm flying from California to Europe. It's going to be a long flight. And as we're taxiing down the runway, this woman, she's holding onto her seatbelt and lifting up with all her might. We're just like taxiing down the runway, and I could tell she's so nervous about flying or about takeoff. And she's like a power lifter, lifting up on her seatbelt, and her jaw's tightening up, and she's pulling on the seatbelt. And I was like, oh my God, this lady thinks she's helping the plane take off. And we all unconsciously do that. We all unconsciously go through life trying to lift planes when, you know, her pulling up on her seatbelt or not has nothing, you know, doesn't influence the plane at all. And I'm sure you've all been on a passenger in a car where the driver's gone a little too fast and you start braking on the floor. You're a passenger, but you're pushing down on the floor thinking that you're going to help them brake, or you grip onto the handlebars when, you know, that gripping and tightening doesn't help anything. So train yourself to respond to life with relaxation, because when you relax, your body doesn't dissipate and deplete its energy. So if you're wondering, why am I feel so tired at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, probably you're carrying way too much tension. And by 2 or 3 in the afternoon, it's like flexing your arm muscles all day long. You're like, oh my God, I'm so tired. So the chronic contraction in your back, your neck and shoulders will very much deplete your energy, and you'll feel tired. And then you're like, okay, now I want to go to sleep. So then you'll reach for that second cup of coffee, or I need an energy drink, when really we just need to relax and manage our energy better.
Yeah, and then we like fall into the like these cycles, don't we? As you mentioned there, in terms of like the afternoon slump and stuff, and then it becomes that cycle, and then we might not sleep well at night because we've got too much caffeine in our body, and the cycle just kind of, and then that can cause more stress, right? The not sleeping well and everything. So just go back to that cycle.
Exactly. We are a culture of being wired and tired.
Yeah,
And that
absolutely.
just really means our energy is out of balance.
Yeah, absolutely. One question I do want to ask, because as we were originally talking about kind of the East and the West, in the West we are very or much more scientific kind of led. So I was curious, like if there's any studies or science that you know of behind the practice of Qigong, that you're able to share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much research that points to practices and principles in Qigong that will be beneficial. So, I mean, we're from breath work to meditation to movement, all point to wonderful health benefits. And Qigong incorporates all of it. Breath work, mindfulness, relaxation, getting out of stress. So there's lots of studies done on, psychoimmunology. That's the mind-body connection, how we're processing stress and what helps us to feel better. And really, movement is so important. There's a study that was discussing the lack of movement. From the study, the phrase "sitting is the new smoking" came out because if people sit too long, it's detrimental, as detrimental to our health as smoking. So, the misconception that, hey, we go for a 30-minute workout in the morning and sit on our butts at work, at dinner, and then watching TV the rest of the day. Yes, doing the workout in the morning is better than not doing anything, but that lack of movement and that lack of variety of movement is very detrimental to our health. And the more variety of movement we can bring into our daily lives, the better. So we look at cultures where there's lots and lots of centenarians, what we might call the blue zones, and people are moving their bodies into old age and moving their bodies in various ways, working in the garden, walking up a hill, tending to the cattle, playing games with their friends, dancing at night. Variety of movement is every bit as important for health and longevity as a healthy diet. So that's one. That's one. And then we can just look at, hey, the studies on meditation, people that meditate on average have a biological age about 12 years younger than their actual age. So if you're 60 years old and you're a meditator, your biological age is more like 48. So meditation isn't just for, tuning out and just being spiritualized. No, it's actual healthcare practice. And Qigong has a whole series of meditations. Like one is called the Inner Smile. And it's a beautiful meditation where you take a slow, deep breath, and as you start your meditation, you just bring a little smile to your face as a beginning part of a meditation because you have 80 muscles in your face. As soon as you start to move them up into a smile, your whole system gets flooded with positive chemistry and positive energy. And so the studies on smiling are really interesting too. There's a lot of research done in the universities testing to see if people smile more, how does that influence their lives? And it influences it dramatically. So in all the markers that indicate success, and I forget exactly what they were, but health, finances, family, friends, community, people that smile, they could predict how successful they are by how much they smile. And they did this one really interesting study on 1950s baseball cards. So you have the cards of the players. And they just took the players that were smiling in the picture versus the ones that weren't. And the ones that are smiling on average lived 8 years longer than the ones that weren't smiling.
It's
And so
crazy.
these just really interesting facts that people that have a little bit more elevated emotional energy tend to be healthier and happier and more successful in their life. So this practice, it's an ancient practice called the Inner Smile Meditation, but basically you just imagine that there's golden lights shining on your face. It uplifts your mouth and maybe a little bit in your eyes and to a smile. And you start the meditation with that. You don't have to keep like a posing for a picture smile on your face as you're meditating, but you just feel this uplifted and maybe occasionally bring bigger smile, like on an inhale, and then relax that smile and let the smiling energy move through your body. And all of a sudden, meditation becomes light. It's fun. It feels good. It's not something that you're efforting just to quiet your mind or wrestling your mind into submission. You're actually more active in the meditative process as a way to cultivate a particular kind of energy that you want to be tuned into. So you might ask yourself, hey, what do I want to be tuned into today? Do I want to be tuned into stress and anxiety? Do I want to be tuned into peace and joyfulness? And how do I tune into that? Because we feel so out of control with our emotions and with our thoughts. It's like they just happen to us. Now I'm frustrated. Now I'm anxious or worried, and nobody knows how to transform it. And so emotions, yes, they do just happen to us. They're habituated as our thinking mind is as well. So we need to retrain it. And so this word gong, qigong, means to work with. You're going to retrain it to be something that you want. We can go back to that gardening analogy. Like there's this, you have this natural energy within you. And if you want to cultivate a particular kind of fruit in your garden, you got to have the right seeds, the right soil, in the right place. So what you do is I want to be in tune with my joyfulness and relaxation. Well, it's going to take a little bit of work to cultivate that energy, but make no mistake, you can be in a state of joy, happiness, and relaxation most of the time. And that's how you're designed. We're designed to go into stress in short bursts and get out of stress very quickly and be in what we call parasympathetic branch of the nervous system is rest and digest. That's when you're on vacation and the sun is setting and you're just like, ah, this feels good. Well, you need to be on vacation multiple times a day. And how do you do that? Well, you change your breathing, you stretch your body, and you do flowing movements that relax you so that you feel that, ah, and then your body and mind reset and health and healing ensue. It's a cascade of different things that need to happen for us to really feel empowered.
One of the key things I took out of your Mind Valley Quest works, as I shared before, was where I discovered your work, was chi breaks. And it kind of talks, and obviously, as we just spoke about there, in terms of like actually breaking up our day for these movements, for different variation of movement. I think, chi breaks is an excellent example of how we can have these kind of short breaks throughout our day. Can you talk about actually like what are chi breaks and how people would actually, I mean, from what going through the quest, it's very simple to implement, but how people would actually go about implementing these?
Well, that's great, Luke. And chi breaks simply is taking one or two qigong exercises and bringing it into your day. So maybe you're at your desk and you're working, then you stop for 5-10 minutes and do some stretches and you breathe and you move your body. You could be sitting in traffic, like we said, and you start changing your breathing and just take a little break so that you can energize your mind, body, and relax your whole system.
I love that. One other thing that I wanted to talk about that's also in your quest is this concept of, hopefully I'm going to pronounce it right, the Tao, is that correct?
Yeah, the Tao. The Tao. It's spelled T-A-O, but it's
pronounced. Yeah, Tao, with the D, okay.
Taoism.
Can you talk about this and like this ancient wisdom, like what it is, where it originates, how it's linked with Qigong? Because I'm fascinated by this kind of concept, and I think it would help a lot of people.
I mean, it's such a fascinating concept. So Tao means the way, and it's really interesting. It's the way the universe works. And Taoism is one of the great religions of life, but it's not really a religion. It's more of a spiritual philosophy. Probably the most well-known book in Taoism is called the Tao Te Ching, written by Lao Tzu. And it's actually, the Tao Te Ching is the second most widely read book in the world, next to the Bible. Luke, I'm sure when I said the second most widely read book, you were like, oh yeah, the first one, Harry Potter. but no, the Bible and then the Tao Te Ching. So the Tao Te Ching is this really beautiful way of philosophizing and learning how to tune yourself into the way of life. So the Tao, everybody has their own way. There's the Tao of Luke, there's the Tao of Li, there's the Tao of the universe, just the way things work. And we all in our minds want things to work in a particular way. And there's just the way it is, right? And sometimes we don't want it to be that way. We don't want life to change. We don't want to lose a person we love. We don't want, our job to change. We don't want this. This didn't meet my expectations. Well, the Tao says, look, this is just the way. And here's the way of life. Here's the way of nature. And can you, as an individual, line yourself up to the way that life works? And if you're lined up with the way life works, excuse me, you are in a flow. And when you're out of alignment with the way life works, you're in stress. So think of the Tao as a great river. Now, a lot of people are trying to swim upstream. And when you're swimming upstream, you're out of the flow. You're working really hard. You're still going in the same direction. And what happens is you have a lack of vision. So you hit the rocks, you get tangled up on the banks, and you're not connected to life and the flow all around you. So Taoism is a deeply philosophical, spiritual practice where many things stem from it. Chinese medicine, acupuncture, Qigong, meditation, Zen, all come out of Taoist wisdom.
And how do we, I'm just wondering how to kind of pose this question, because I think a lot of people, maybe especially here in the West, right, they're very much goal setters, right, and goal getters, and maybe like their goals sometimes, it kind of seems from my perspective and from kind of what I've seen is maybe that sometimes goes against like the way life is and this kind of concept of allowing life to flow. Hopefully I'm kind of sharing that kind of correctly. I'm just trying to articulate my thoughts and
stuff. Well, you know, it's so important to set goals. It's true. And I think this is such a good concept because, you know, let's take our analogy of planning a trip. So planning a trip is like setting goals. Hey, we're going to go here. You know, we're going to take a trip to California. We're going to go see this site. We're going to go see that site. Okay, those are my goals. Those are my plans. But then always a trip goes unexpectedly, you know, either well or good, or it just is unexpected. You're going to see different sites than you expected. Well, oh, I saw a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge, but I had no idea that it was that big. Or the actual experience of it is very, very different than what you had in your mind. So yes, it's important to set goals, line up your energy in a direction that you want it to go, and then be open, flexible, fluid to the unexpected, because the future is always unknown. And in the face of unknowns, what people do is they end up tightening up their bodies and tightening up their minds. Now, what is the contraction of the mind look like? Well, the contraction of the mind really is worries. You're going to overthink things. If you don't know the future, your mind tries to predict it by repeating thoughts over and over again. And usually it's trying to think about the worst possible outcome. Now, the problem with that is you think about the worst possible outcome in the future. Your present moment is filled with stress. Even if there's no stress around you at all, your thinking creates stress in the future. And then you end up in a stressed out nervous system. So the big problem is that we're hardwired to look and to look for danger. And so when we look towards the future or remember the past, we tend to remember the negative and worry about something that might happen that's not so good. Now we walk around in the present moment completely stressed out most of the time, even though we're not in survival mode, we're not in danger at all. So we have to work with the mind. If you want to live a happy, healthy life, you have to work with your mind in the way that it is constantly trying to predict future scenarios and bringing stress back into our present moments. So when you notice yourself worrying, thinking about the negative, you have to say, ha ha, I caught you, mind. In Qigong and Chinese medicine, it's called the monkey mind. It's very rascally. It often swings from branch to branch to branch in this kind of very neurotic kind of way. And we come back to the present moment. We come back to our breathing. And then now line up to what you want. Set your goals. Say like, you know what? I'm not going to think about all those worries. I'm going to line up to, hey, this is the way I want my day to go. I'm going to visualize it. I'm going to breathe into it. I'm going to imagine it happening. I'm going to hear the sounds. I'm going to pay attention to what people are saying to me. I'm going to put my mind into a future scenario that I really want to happen. So instead of worrying about the negative, you put your mind on the positive. Now we're lined up. We've set a goal and we're lined up in that direction. Now also be open to the unexpected and be real relaxed and flowy, like a river flowing down the mountain. At the top of the mountain, the river's not going, oh my God, look at all those boulders. There's so many obstacles. I'm never going to get to the ocean. You know, this would be a neurotic river, but we constantly as human beings are looking at the negative and worrying about it instead of just being flowy and easygoing and in the moment and relaxed and responsive to life's unexpected surprises.
Yeah, so it sounds like our goals are obviously very important and actually are designed to for something to strive towards, you know, a direction, I guess, in life. And then actually the path towards our goals, where sometimes people can be very, just not open to like different paths, or, you know, and actually sometimes yeah. It's the journey towards our goals is actually the most beautiful thing, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah. And I think, you know, we're working with energy. So, you know, what is the future, but a perception, and perceptions are energy. So how do I work with my perceptions so that I can, you know, again, live in a high state of vibration. And when we think about our past, the same thing is true. You know, all this research on gratitude, like we need a journal, you know, there's many, many books on like, hey, gratitude is important. You know, when you think about your past, think about what you're grateful for. What did you appreciate? Because the mind tends to go back into the past and dig up all the things it didn't like. That's like instead of when you dig in the ground to excavate a treasure, you leave the gold in the ground, but take home the mud. No, you don't want to do that. You want to take home the treasure. Leave the mud there and bring home the treasure. What are the treasures? Well, that's the things we appreciate. So if I'm thinking about my past and I think about, oh yeah, I got to wake up with my daughter and she smiled at me. I had a little laugh with a friend on the phone. I had a cup of coffee and wasn't that delicious? And, simple things. Oh, remember that sunset last night? Wasn't that so nice? Oh, that get together with those friends. And you just think about those. Now the difference in your present moment is your energy's elevated as opposed to, gosh, remember what that person said to me? I really didn't like what my boss did. The way John looked at me made me feel irritated. I'm just remembering and reminiscing about all these negative things. Now my present moment, low vibration. So I'm not saying you need to negate all the negative things, but we need to work with the mind being hardwired for the negative. We don't have to say, hey, let's do a training on how to remember the negative. No, we need to do gratitude training because mind is already hardwired towards negative. And so that's why gratitude practice is so important. You don't have to do, we don't have to do a podcast teaching people how to worry. We have that hardwired in. So we train people on how to visualize or goal set what they want to happen. Stop focusing on what you don't want to happen. Focus on what you do want to happen. And that's a very hard thing because people pay attention to negative. And all you have to do is really look at newspapers.
Yeah.
Very few good news newspapers. They exactly. don't sell because people don't pay attention to good news. They pay attention to negative news. And this is not good for our psyche, our energy system. So everybody's walking out chronically stressed out, fatigued, like we said, wired and tired because we don't have this particular gong, which means skill at working with life's energy to create what we want, to create a healthy, fired up, energized present moment.
One thing that's really helped me, I've kind of called it becoming like the observer of self, you know, of like kind of taking myself out of like being aware of my emotions and my feelings and stuff. And as you mentioned before, I had a little monkey mind. I've also heard it as, I took in another program and they called it like mental chatter. And just like mm-hmm. separating just slightly from it and just becoming aware of it and be like, actually, do I want to think this? Actually, is that true? And just kind of like questioning myself, yeah, becoming an observer mm-hmm, of self, mm-hmm. which I think has helped Well, practices like Qigong and all the different practices that I do has helped me to develop that skill. But as you've repeatedly said, right, it's a practice. We've got to train in it. We've got to learn to embrace and like live life in this way. It's not just going to happen.
Exactly. And yeah, really well said, Luke. I mean, and like you said, you know, how do we get into observing mind? You know, that's giving ourselves a little altitude, you know, and getting out of the reactivity of the moment and just having more perspective. It's the difference of, you know, being on the top of the mountain with a lot of vision and understanding the whole landscape, or being really in the forest and just seeing the trees. When we're in that observing mind, we have a lot more spaciousness in our mind, and we can observe and understand life on a much deeper layer. And we have so much more space to pause before we take action. So we don't say things we don't mean. We don't hurt people's feelings. We're much more conscientious, and we can tend to our own mental, emotional needs really easily from that perspective. So we can observe, because we have under the misconception that we are our thoughts, that who Lee is, who Luke is this thinking mind. And it's really not true, you know? So as one of my Qigong teachers used to tell me, hey, don't believe the thoughts in your mind. And I thought this was really interesting, because whose thoughts are they? Well, you can't even predict what you're going to be thinking about in 5 minutes from now, right? In 10 minutes, what are you going to be thinking about after lunch? What are you going to dream about tonight? We can't predict the nature of the mind. There is, like breathing, a way in which we can control and shift the flow of mental energy. So I can say, think about something you're grateful for, and you can then put your attention on a memory of something that happened to you that you really appreciated. But for the most part, the energy of the mind is habituated, just bubbles up to the surface. And so we can say, you know what? That thought is no longer useful. I'm going to tune that one down, and I'm going to bring something else in. So if you notice your mind starting to worry, you can just say, hey, what's the opposite of those worried thoughts? And now put your attention to something else. What am I excited about? Oh, let's think about that. So you have to retrain the mind to, when it's going off in its negative tendencies, to then shift it with conscious effort and focused attention. And so it's just could be like a really nice game of, now I'm aware of my thoughts, I am going to choose it. I'm going to choose to turn my thoughts into something positive, and that shifts energy tremendously.
Lee, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an amazing conversation. As I mentioned before, I went through your Mind Valley Quest, learned so much. I feel like I've learned even more today about Qigong and the origins and kind of everything. So I think, you know, this episode is going to help a lot of people, to whether it's to discover Qigong for the first time, or maybe they have and now they're more inspired to actually go ahead and implement it. You mentioned beforehand in terms of your YouTube and your website and stuff. So I just want to give the opportunity in terms of if people are interested in Qigong and actually to implement this throughout the day, if it's Qi breaks or morning routine, evening routine, you know, in the few minutes we have left, talk to us about where people can get in touch with you and learn more about your work.
That's great, Luke. Yeah, come see me at holdenqigong.com. So it's HoldenQigong. That's one of the hardest things about Qigong, is how to spell it. After you figure out how to spell it, doing the practices is really easy or effortless or accessible. So Qigong, Holden Qigong. And on there, you're going to see a whole bunch of like condition specific, like Qigong for your upper back, neck and shoulders, Qigong for high blood pressure. So I go into a lot of conditions that most of us face in one way or another, and you can choose a routine that's going to help you with for an ailment. I also have weekly classes, like a subscription, where you can just come take classes 3 days a week with me. You know, you do it on your own time or on Zoom live, and that just kind of is the preventative medicine. And we have everything from that to a Qigong teacher training on the website. So come visit us there. You can also see a bunch of free stuff on YouTube. I think it's Holden Qigong on YouTube, and you know, Holden Qigong and all the various social media platforms as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time today, Lee. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Luke.